is Eric Name, Bucks beat writer for The Athletic in Las Vegas, Nevada. I can only imagine how hot it is there. What is going on, Mr. Name?
Oh, not too much. Just getting ready for Summer League. What could be better?
I can think of a lot of things, but that's okay. I've always said this, that having been out there several times in my life, it is by far bucket list. If you are a basketball fan or an NBA fan, even if you're just a college sports fan and you watch these guys play in college, because if it hasn't changed since the last time I was there, I mean, it's Thomas and Mac, and then you have the other arena. It's connected. There was like a bar in the middle and concessions, and you pay a price for a ticket, and you can wander back and forth between the two games for whatever session you want to go to. And now when I was there back in the day, and I don't know if they changed this because everything always ends up going worse after time. Back in the day, you could sit in the stands. You could have a former NBA player sitting by you. You could have a GM sitting behind you. You could have scouts by you. You could have anybody sitting by you in the stands. They're not sectioned off or quartered off from you and the actual fan in the stands. So to me, that was must-do. Just like I say spring training is must-do for a baseball fan, this is must-do for an NBA fan.
I think if you're a sicko with basketball knowledge, like, that's
perfect. Yes.
Because it is exactly that. And, like, to be clear, you do need to have some ball knowledge, right? Like, there's not going to be a Chiron underneath the player that's like, this is whoever.
Correct.
This is Cam Jones. But if you know what Cam Jones looks like, you might just walk by him in the concourse.
Correct.
And be like, oh, it's Cam Jones. And if you're a Marquette fan, you're like, Cam, welcome to Milwaukee. This is so great.
Yes.
Like, you get to have those interactions. And it's just like, it's not a normal NBA setting where like everything is so like, kind of portioned off and you can't really get anywhere close to people. Like, everyone's in the same spots and everyone's just walking around trying to survive in the heat and getting into the AC, and there you are.
Being a media guy, it was great for years because you'd go and you'd meet people in different organizations, whatever else, sitting in the stands, strike up a relationship, start talking to guys, talking about rumors around the league or whatever. I absolutely loved it so much. It was fun. Okay, so let's talk about the Bucks. I don't think we've really talked since the Giannis trade. I guess we'll start there. I guess the first thing I'm going to bring up is something I brought up earlier, because I saw, and I don't remember who it was, I'm old, somebody in Miami talking about, and I think it was just a blogger, I don't think it was a beat writer, talking about they don't think the Bucks and the Heat will be that much different record-wise, that they both will probably be somewhere around the play-in tournament, somewhere in that seeding, 7 to 10 or 6 to 10 or something like that. They're not convinced it makes that much of a difference in Miami. I don't really care about that as much, but from what the Bucks have now, we saw their first couple of picks with the first round draft picks. We saw what they're doing with some of the other roster. As it looks right now, and we'll get into whether or not they're going to make changes, is this a potential play-in team as you look at it, knowing Taylor Jenkins is the coach and not Doc Rivers?
I mean, that helps a lot. Like, if we're being pretty clear, like, that Taylor Jenkins will put together a system that makes a lot of sense, and he's got a lot of young guys, and we've seen him do this in Memphis, right? Like, that was, outside of Ja Morant, like, kind of like a team of nobodies,
right?
And even once Ja was going through everything else, like, that team tended to overperform, and that's because Taylor Jenkins is a smart tactician and understands the game and gets a lot out of younger guys. So I think that will help. I do think it's hard when you're going through the options on this team to think, like, so much of the NBA is about who's your offensive engine and, like, who is the person or the people that can consistently create shots for themselves and for others. And I think you can see Ryan Rollins, like, did that last year, right? Like, I think he did some of that. I think Kevin Porter Jr. did some of that last year. I think Tyler Hero's done that throughout his career. I mean, like, he averages 20 points per game, like, year in, year out. So there's some of that, and that's nice, but there's a difference between being one of the guys and then being the guy. And I think when you look through this Bucks team, it's harder to figure out, like, okay, who's the guy? And the NBA is changing, and it's not as much about that, but that kind of weight is necessary. Someone's got to take it on, and someone's got to kind of work through that. So that's why, like, it, depending where the play-in ends up in the East has gotten better this summer. So that play-in number, might be a little bit higher. I think they're just below it, but obviously, you know, you got to play the games and see what happens.
That's Tyler Hero. Yeah, I don't, who else is it going to be? Tyler Hero has the attitude, the swag, the cockiness to say it, dude, it's my time. Give me the ball. I'm going to go win this at the end. And again, not saying that Giannis couldn't do that and didn't do that necessarily in times, but it's a little bit easier for a guard than it is for a big guy necessarily to go get his own shot and go do something. So I do think it's Tyler Hero. My question is Tyler Hero going to be here? You know, when the season kicks off, is he going to be here? Because I don't want him here at the end of the season still, and he just walks away. Like, that cannot be a thing. If he's playing well at the All-Star break, then you move him at the All-Star break. In my mind, knowing you're rebuilding and needing draft picks and everything else, I don't care what the record is at the All-Star break and what chance they have of getting anything, because you don't have a pick anyhow. He's got to go at some point.
I was going to say, I think that's one of the, to me, that's one of the tougher things in a projection for the Bucks. Like, trying to figure out where they are is because with the roster in flux, with the future in flux, like, you're going to listen. If a team calls about pick anyone on the roster,
anybody,
right?
Like, yep,
you're going to listen. And that doesn't mean you're trying to trade the whole roster, but that means you will listen. And if someone blows your doors off, all of a sudden, okay, maybe it's time to make a move. So that's where it gets tough, because it's like, I don't just imagine, like, all right, the 15 guys that are on the roster, and first of all, they got to get down to 15 because they got too many guys as is. But once we get to 15 on opening night, like, I don't think those 15 are ending the season in Milwaukee. Like, they might, but ultimately, like, the Bucks have to listen. This is how you do a rebuild. This is how you retool things. Like, you listen to offers. You're aggressive. You try to use your cap space. You try to use your trade exceptions. You try to do all of these things to build back up and get to where you want to be. But it's not going to be through, like, a rigid, this is what we look like kind of situation. You got to be willing to be flexible, and we'll see how, I mean, this isn't something that John Horst has had to do before. So we'll see how well he can do this and kind of how he kind of negotiates the situation.
Burry's last night played a little bit in that last game in Sacramento in that California Summer League. Looked okay. Was okay in transition. Hit a three. You know, he looks like he can play and come up and play right away. We'll see him more. We're going to see Nate Amon for the first time there in Las Vegas as well. They're going to get way more games than they did in Sacramento in that little three-game jaunt that they just had there. I would assume, maybe wrongly, that they both get a lot of run in Las Vegas, and you're trying to give them as much run as possible to see really what you have. I've seen it before where, oh, it's Jabari Parker. Cool. Play a game. All right, you're good. Go sit down now. We don't need to see you anymore. Summer League, we don't want to get you hurt or anything like that. In this scenario for the Bucks, I think it's different because they're not Jabari. Amen's got a lot of development still to come, and you need to get him and see what he is. And Burry, same thing. Like, is he going to be off the ball? Is he going to run point? How does that look? You have him in both scenarios, I think, while you have the time to do this out in Vegas. Who is coaching the Vegas Summer League, by the way?
It should still be Patrick St. Andrews.
Okay, same guy. Okay.
But we'll see. Like, they might, you know how teams do this. Yeah. Like, all of a sudden, you go up to a game and the third assistant coach is there instead of the second one. So that could change. I mean, I think to your point, Spark, like, I also expect Jakachionis to come play some Summer League games as well. Like, once he gets done with Lithuania. I mean, my guess was that was the initial plan, but he's looked pretty good for Lithuania.
He has.
So, Maybe you don't need to see anything more.
And Daywall went over there to go see him too.
Correct. Yeah. But to your point, he's gonna have to learn how to play with other guys, right? Like, if you're gonna build this thing up, like, he's gonna need some reps with Braden Burries. He's gonna need some reps with Ryan Rowe. Like, he's got to figure out kind of all those things. So, I don't think this is a situation where they're getting shut down, right? Like, oh, you're the number two pick. You're great. We've seen enough. You put up 20 in your first game. We're good. I think this is a situation where you got to get some reps. You got to try to figure out what's going on and how these guys work together, and also just get used to these guys. Like, I think the other thing too is, like, these guys are, they're kids, right? Like, these are 19-year-olds and 20-year-olds, and you know, they got young legs. Like, they can handle it for a couple weeks in July, and then you kind of get what you need to know, and then you get them on the off-season plan and you get them ready for this upcoming season.
What about my guy Bogey? Huh? I mean, I think there's a lot of excitement around him. Now, again, this is going to be potentially a 4, I think, 6'11 dude, whatever. Not a lot of muscle to him. Bigger than he was last time we saw him in Milwaukee. So he's added some muscle. Had a really good year overseas. He's, what, 22 years old. I watched him in Sacramento in the time that he got to play. Offensively, I'm not too worried about him offensively. Defensively, there I get a little bit concerned as far as moving his feet and staying in front of people defensively at the NBA level.
I'm not sure what his position is defensively. And that's a really awkward spot to be in the NBA, right? We've seen a million guys that either have, you know, the offensive skill as a three-point shooter or a rim runner, right, or whatever it might be. And then on defense, it's like, all right, are you big enough to cover fives or are you fast enough to cover fours? And if you're neither of those things, gets tougher for coaches to play these guys. And that to me is like, what will be his calling card? And I think across the roster, I think you have a lot of questions about a lot of these guys. So you are leaning into Taylor Jenkins to figure out like, all right, these are the guys. What's the system going to be to protect this guy or get the most out of this guy or create steals or play passing lanes or whatever it might be? Because it's not going to be perfect defensively with these guys. It's a young roster. They're going to have to figure some things out, and Taylor's going to have to figure that out as well. So, yeah, I think I like all of the offensive skill from Bogey. I think you see some of the passing that he does. That's always been something that he's really liked to do. You can see it offensively, but defensively, I'm with you. I have some questions.
Miles Turner, Eric Name, Bucks beat writer for The Athletic, joining us here on Wisconsin Sports Daily with me, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. Thanks for tuning in. Miles Turner is a cat that wasn't good without Giannis on the floor. When Giannis was on the floor, he looked better. Then at the end of the year, when Giannis didn't come back, he started to look better a little bit. Miles Turner, a piece with the right coaching, could be an offensive piece that could get 12, 13 shots a night, essentially, with Tyler Hero getting 15 to 20 shots, and he essentially becomes your 2, dare I say?
2 feels strong.
Yeah.
But I will say, I think one of the bigger problems I had throughout the season last year with Doc Rivers was, you know, when you watch Miles Turner in Indiana, he was one of the most varied and diverse rollers in pick and rolls of anyone. And what I mean by that is he could get all the way to the rim and dunk. He could pull up for a mid-range jumper. He could catch in the short roll and make a pass to the corner. He could pop out to 3. And in Indiana, you have this wildly creative point guard in Tyrese Haliburton that totally exploited it. He could do all this. That Miles, whatever you do, Haliburton's going to get you the ball in the spot that you need it. And when he was in Milwaukee, it was like, well, we all really only need you to roll. And that's it. Don't do anything other than that. And when Miles would be like, well, I'm a 40% three-point shooter. You sure you don't want me to pop? They're just like, you know what? Jericho Sims, you're the role man. Miles, go stand in the corner. That's a problem. He's one of the highest paid players on the team. You should be prioritizing that guy before Jericho Sims. Yes. And that's not to take anything away from Jericho Sims. I thought he made real steps at the end of last season. But you got to figure out what you're prioritizing. And I personally would have prioritized Miles Turner a little bit more. That was not how Doc Rivers felt. And I think one of the exciting things, and we started this interview talking about Taylor Jenkins versus Doc Rivers. I think that's one of the exciting things is to see Miles Turner in a system that I would hope prioritizes him again and puts him in positions to do all of those things and make the offense better overall.
Bobby Portis goes in that deal with Giannis. And it's like, okay, well, he's an expiring contract, so be it. Have fun in Miami. Good luck to you. But that does create a problem right now for that forward position for this Bucks team. We talked about Bogey. He's young, and we don't know where his spot is. Amen's going to take time to develop. He shows flashes and showed flashes in college, really even more so in high school than he did in college, about how good he might be able to be. But again, he's got to add muscle as well. That forward position, if they're going to make deals here, it's going to have to come from the guard position. We know that outside of Kuzma. That's really what they're going to have to address here is how do they get more depth and more quality at those forwards?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing with the crowded roster right now is it's not just that they have more than the 15 roster spots that you can only have at the start of the next season. And to be clear, in the summer, you can carry up to 20. So if they want to keep signing guys, go for it. But at some point, you got to balance out the roster. There's not time for six point guards and shooting guards. That just it's just not going to work. Someone will either not play, or you're going to play all these guys 10 minutes. No, you're not going to do that. So you got to figure those things out. But yeah, I mean, for now, Kyle Kuzma looks like he's going to be the four, and he's going to get an opportunity to do a lot of those things. And I mean, I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but like in some ways, like he's going to have to be an innings eater right now. Like if Nate Amen is going to be a part of the future and you want him to do things well, probably doesn't need to play 25 minutes a night next year. Like let him come in and play 15 to 20 and get the reps that he needs. Don't like, he's got to add some strength, like get those reps, make those reps count and get as much as you can out of them. But that still, as to your point, leaves another 28 minutes. And that's where Kyle Kuzma, like, let's hope he can be a veteran and do the things that he needs to do for the Bucks to figure this out and kind of keep moving forward.
Kuzma's another guy that had a game here or there where you're like, okay, all right, if he can do that. But like Kyle Kuzma has been his whole career, he's so inconsistent, you can't really rely on that to be something that happens time in and time out. As we sit here today, one last one for you, Eric Name, concerning the Bucks. Would you say odds are pretty high that they make at least a couple more moves to change this roster over before we see, you know, tip off of the first exhibition game?
Yeah, I mean, just from a numbers perspective, they have to, right? Like, you got to cut it down to 15. So they're going to have to do that at some point. I think from a bigger move perspective, you got to find the market, right? And I think one thing that we've kind of seen in free agency doesn't really exist. Right? Like there's not, you know, it's not lining up signing after signing after signing after signing. Like instead of free agency, it's we're going to trade for guys or yep. We're going to do this, we're going to do that. So I think there's still some of those, I think around the league, there's still some positions that need to get shaken out. And I think there's still some rosters of teams that are trying to contend that need to get shaken out. And I think that's where you can see, you know, we're to what, July 7th now? Like, all right, I think things are starting to settle out. Everyone's trying to figure out, you know, there's three or four free agents. There's not a lot of free agents out there. So we still have a problem or an issue, or we have something we need. How do we go get it? All right, let's go talk to the Bucks, or let's go talk to any of these other teams that have pieces that might not fit in with them kind of going forward. So, yeah, I mean, I think you're just going to keep hearing the Bucks are listening, right? And that's what they have to do. And I think at some point, maybe they'll get to a spot where they believe they're getting the right amount of value for any of these players. Right now, obviously, that hasn't happened quite yet. Yeah. So I think, like I said, for this to work, John Horst needs to be flexible and needs to be willing to think about many different pathways as they try to figure out what this roster is going to look like on opening night.
Eric Name on X, Bucks beat writer for The Athletic. Follow him at Eric_Name. One last one, then we got to get to Charlie's Sounds of the Day. You were there. You were in Seattle watching the U.S., watching World Cup. People may not know Eric's a big soccer fan. I remember back in the day he would talk soccer, be like, shut up, I don't care about your soccer talk. But since then, this was years ago. Now I do watch the U.S. men's national team rather religiously if they're on TV, and I watch the U.S. women's team. I don't watch the rest of it, though. Those are the only things that I watch. There is still a noticeable difference between where they are and where they need to be. They were like 16th or whatever it was in the world. And it's real simple to tell you, in my opinion, why. Yes, you had the dumb goalkeeper that had that bonehead move and all that, fine. But forget all that. At the end of the day, if you're ever going to get to where you want to go, who's going to be your Giannis, baby? That's what they've got to find. They got to find their Giannis, who's going to be a top five player in the world that plays on Team USA. Do they ever get that guy before we're dead? I don't know, but that's what they have to find. Who's that guy? It sure the hell isn't Christian Pulisic. We've been hoping and praying for that dude for a while, and that he ain't it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was one of the things I was so disappointed about this tournament was the first 50 minutes of the first game, he was electric. Like, no defenders could keep him in front of. He was all over the field. It was unbelievable. It was like, oh, my God. He's done it. And then he gets hurt.
Yep.
And this same is stuff just, as always. This is just his kind of body and kind of how it all works. So yeah, you're right. He's not it. And you just have to keep hoping that we can somehow find a way to find one of those guys, because we don't have one. Like, you watch Messi today and it's like, okay, that I don't. It's not even that they're playing different sports. Like, you're in different galaxies. Like, this is.
Dude, so I want to know something. I'm going to cut you off. Were you rooting for Verde, or were you rooting for Messi in Argentina? Because there was no way. Right, Verde all day.
Yeah.
Jason McIntyre, that knucklehead, he's on X talking about, oh, I'm rooting for them because I want to see more Messi. I was like, man, screw you. There's no way. They would have made a movie on that team had they pulled that off and beat Messi, regardless of what happened in the next round.
100%.
God, and that was a great game.
Even today, my group chat was talking about, like, man, Egypt got screwed, right? Like, they had a couple bad calls against them. And to Messi's credit, he went crazy and did the thing, but they got screwed.
They're not that good. That's what I think. I don't think. I mean, this is a good. This is. He's fine. I'm just saying that team is beatable. There is no question now. Against two teams that should not have been on the field with them, they almost had their lunch given to them. I love me some Eric Name. Thank you so much for coming on, man. I appreciate you.
Of course.